I will be married from the womb, and I'll die in marriage.
Welcome to our group.
And this ought to show it right here.
Do you or someone you know suffer from depression? If so, please contact the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline at 1-800-273-8255.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to our Saturday night broadcast with your host, Colonel Kimberly Purvis, and I'm your co-host and general of the Defender Center, Bobby Ornsby. Welcome. Now, for those of you new just tuning into us, we can be reached on our Facebook national page by typing in the search box, all capital letters, Defenders 7. Now, before you click on that join button, just know we expect all of our members and future members to participate throughout everything we do here in the Defender 7. We also have a website. If you type in all lowercase letters, www.defendersrvivictor.com. On our website, you will find that we have a store and a donate button. 100% of all proceeds go back to our communities throughout all 50 states in the time of need. So please, by all means, purchase something or hit that donate button. Every dollar helps. Help us to help you and your communities in a time of need. We also have a YouTube channel. Hop over to YouTube, hit that subscribe button for us. We're on MeWe. Click on organizations and scroll all the way down. Defenders 7, Humanitarian American Patriot Group. Now, for all of our shows here on Blog Talk Radio that we do, we enjoy when you call in and give us your opinions, or just participate. And that number to call, area code 914-205-5773. Again, the number to call to participate, area code 914-205-5773. And I'd like to welcome your host, our Colonel Kimberly Purvis, our Lieutenant General Christopher Weathers, and
good evening,
our Major from Wisconsin, Miss Lorna Munson.
Major pain in the ass.
Miss Pain in the ass is ready for a nap.
You all, Keith?
No shit.
I've had a migraine for 2 days, and I'm like, oh my god, I have no energy, no life. I'm just like, I just want to go to sleep.
Is that migraine's name Bobby?
I don't know.
No, it's actually Lorna.
I think it's
Lorna.
Just life.
It's actually Lorna.
Life. All right.
So, I thought we'd do something a little different, and we'd do some survival quizzes. that I found.
Yeah, so, but how many people are going to call in and participate?
Yeah, well, you know what? Sucks to be them if they don't. I don't care. I don't care. That's the way I look at it now. I don't care. But here's the thing. If they're listening, I don't care if they're listening and they're taking the information down. That's all that, honestly, that's all that matters. That they're actually listening. Now, if they don't follow through with it, like I said, they're on their own. I mean, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make them drink. So.
Well, if they shut down non-vaccinated and, let's see, Trump supporters and all this shit off the internet, off their phone, what all did it say, Kim? Said the internet, their phone.
Yeah, Google, Apple, and something else. Somebody else said all Trump supporters and Christians and all of that, they're going to be shut off of everything if they're not vaccinated.
Yeah, they also said Samsung.
Yeah,
that's a hell of a lot of lawsuits.
Oh yeah.
That's a hell of a lot of people they're gonna cut off.
They're gonna
Well, here's the other thing. You're gonna leave people who need their phone for everybody needs it for an emergency. God forbid if you have a heart attack or if you have a medical emergency and you have no phone and they shut your phone off. That's a lawsuit right there.
Well, there's going to be millions of lawsuits.
Okay,
millions.
But here's the other thing. I got an email the other day. We're losing our power in two weeks for an undisclosed amount of time.
Wow.
Did they say why?
Huh?
Did they say why?
They're fixing the line. Okay.
Okay, whatever. Yeah.
So they're
whatever.
Fixing
you're gonna give
the
us
lines
a...
for 2 weeks?
They can fix lines during a thunderstorm, yeah. Give me a
break. Who the fuck are they hiring to do their work?
Fucking liberals.
Good.
No, it's happening. It's happening in 2 weeks. So, but, like I said, that's Kansas. I don't know about anybody else. So...
I haven't heard nothing.
Not happening here.
Yeah, I know. So, and I thought it was kind of odd that I got it, but it's like, whatever. whatever, just get off my ass. I'll just open my windows and hopefully it's not 105 degrees outside. the other thing is, September 11th, September 18th and October 18th. Watch out. I have a feeling the FBI and, you know, the Department of Homeland Security is pulling some shit and blame some attacks on Trump supporters and Christians and conservatives and shit like that. And they're going to use that to take our guns away.
Whatever.
So,
I
know it's whatever. But I don't believe for 1 minute a retired Air Force general is telling veterans to meet up October 17th or 18th in front of the Lincoln Memorial. Bullshit.
Yeah, I don't believe
That's a setup. If you believe it, you're stupid. And go ahead and go. Let them pick you up. You know, just stay out of D.C.
Maybe I should go.
Damn, you're calling Lorna stupid on a national radio show?
Hey,
damn, that's cold-blooded right there.
At least I wouldn't leave her in the corner of a dark room bleeding out, eating pizza and a milkshake.
Wow. Guys,
yeah, you know what? You know what?
I almost spun out on the interstate. Holy fuck, that scared the shit out of me.
Is it raining?
Well.
Or just...
yeah. Dude, I'm only doing fucking 65 miles an hour, and I about fucking lost it right here on the interstate.
We know you don't drive over 55.
It's a storm here.
Okay.
You forget
I
was with you Labor Day weekend.
That's why I make a 45-minute drive in less than 30 minutes.
You forget I drove with you on Memorial Day weekend.
Oh, what the fuck ever.
Okay.
Get the hell out of here.
Well, the leaves are changing colors here already.
You can keep that
yay.
Shit up north.
I know, because I'm leaving. So, I'm going to try not to repeat some of these questions, or I might just do it to see if anyone's paying attention. So what is the single most important, and I'm going to give you the choices, and you pick which one's the answer, okay? What's the single most important thing you need to survive in the wild? Food, warmth, or water? Huh?
Water.
Bobby? This is the interactive show tonight.
Water is the answer.
Water.
H2O.
Okay. If you're looking for insects to eat, which one would you avoid? Big ones, ugly ones, or bright ones?
Bright ones.
Huh?
Bright ones.
Yeah. Well, let's see.
Yes.
Correct. Although most insects are edible, a good rule of thumb is to steer clear of brightly colored ones as well as those that are hairy or pungent. Poor ugly bugs just can't get a break. It's a good idea to build your shelter near what? Cliffs, water source, or dry riverbed?
Water source. But not
too close.
You know,
that one's a dir. Why the hell would you go near a dry riverbed?
Hold on. Because I want to establish something on that. Not too close to a water source, because if you do have storms upstream, it might not do it where you're at. It could have flash flood effects and wipe you out in your shelter.
Also snakes.
Huh?
Water moccasins, if they're in your area, they tend to go, you know, things like that. But, I mean, that's a smaller problem than flash floods. But
yeah, I much rather worry about flash floods, because I'll tell you right now. Well, for people that doesn't know snakes, one rule of thumb when in survival, never go after something that can kill you. But I know my snakes. I'm eating that some bitch. I'll tell you that right now. Doesn't matter. Copperhead, cottonmouth. I'm eating.
Well, I'll tell you right now,
all snakes are bad.
Say what?
But there are a few
even
grinds.
Even grinder snakes got huge fangs on them, and they can kill you.
Oh, God.
The coral snake, it's red and yellow, kill a fellow, red and black, venom lack. Okay, that's the only one I know. I don't know any others. That's all I know, because I lived in Florida, and there's coral snakes everywhere.
I got a question on snakes. They say that the venomous snakes, their eyes go diagonal or vertical. I don't remember which way is which. But the point
here
is
in America, their cat's eyes is what they look like. But here in America, yes. But some countries, poisonous snakes, highly venomous snakes, I think it's South America, there is a vine viper with round eyes.
Well, my theory is I'm not getting that close to find out. And copperheads are the other bad snakes. I mean, them little bastards are everywhere.
Well, fuck, you got copperheads, you got rattlesnakes, you got eastern diamondbacks, timber rattlers, western diamondbacks, cottonmouths.
What's the difference between a rattlesnake and a copperhead?
Rattlesnakes, sometimes, most of the time they will rattle to give you that warning, but if you surprise them, there is no rattle, they will strike. But sometimes they can, like adults, they can control their venom on how much they do. Babies cannot control their venom.
What's the difference between a copperhead and a cottonmouth? Copperhead, gold?
Copperhead is like a gold color, almost like a leafy color, like a golden, like a golden brown. A cottonmouth is dark. When it opens up its mouth, it's white. That looks like cotton. That's how white inside the mouth is.
Now, which one of the
two? Here's another. I will say this much about a cottonmouth. They are highly, highly aggressive snakes.
Yep.
Just to let you know.
I forgot what I was going to ask. Hold that
Go
thought.
Go to bed, Lorna. You're drunk.
I know.
Insect larvae.
Too much swinging.
Insect larvae.
No, I didn't
want to go swinging.
I didn't know anybody there. You guys done?
Okay.
Insect larvae.
Next.
Insect larvae. Shut up. Insect larvae contains a lot of protein. Where is the best places to find these insect eggs? Moist areas under rocks attached to the insect or the animal's droppings?
Moist areas under rocks, ain't it?
Mm-hmm. That's what I was going to say, but I was stumped.
Under rocks.
You're always stumped, Lorna.
Oh, shush.
She is a stump.
Yeah.
She is a stump.
Right.
I'll give you a stump, all right.
A swinging stump.
some of these answers are no shit.
Yeah, some of the questions and answers are, well, the questions are pretty good, but the answers, you can find them in, like, old rotting logs and shit like that, too.
Yeah.
Well, true. Yeah.
That's my first thought was under bark.
No, yeah, you'll find them under rotting logs on the ground and things like that. Why should you try to avoid sleeping directly on the ground? To avoid bugs? To keep from losing body heat or to eliminate the risk of contracting a disease? Body heat.
Is that body heat?
Yes, it's body heat.
Yep. What type of food or beverage should you avoid in cases of hypothermia? Hot chocolate, alcohol mix, or caffeine?
Caffeine.
Yep, because also it'll dehydrate you.
And alcohol, too.
Yeah.
I said that.
Why?
Especially. Alcohol will dehydrate you faster than anything.
Oh, it won't let me pick these answers. Well, that just sucks. There's more questions. Like, why would you melt your snow before drinking it? Or why would you snow or ice before drinking it? To avoid brain freeze, avoid dehydration, or avoid cutting your mouth on sharp ice.
Avoid dehydration.
No.
Well, I hope that's the answer. I can't get it. It won't,
okay.
It won't let me.
That is the most stupidest three answers that they give I've ever heard.
Let me see. What it, okay, I got it. Oh, it is. To avoid dehydration. Oh, I know why. I know why. And this makes sense. Because eating frozen snow and ice will reduce your body core temperature and lead to dehydration.
That's what I was going to say.
Okay. Which of these wild berries are safe when ripe and cooked, but can cause nausea when eaten off the bush? Golden currants, elderberries, or raspberries?
Elderberry.
Hold on. It is elderberry.
Yes.
See, I'm not an idiot.
Golden currants contain, wait a minute. Oh, it's that elderberries contain poison like cyanogenic glycoside, and that can lead to nausea and vomiting. So that's why you have to cook them.
Yeah, but when they're cooked, they're very nutritious.
That's like pork plants, you know, they're poison, but you got to boil them before you fry them to make pork salad.
The what? Oh, pork salad, yeah.
Pork plants. Yeah, you got to boil it before you fry it to boil the poison out of it.
That is some of the nastiest shit smell cooking.
Oh, I know, but it tastes really good once it's done.
How can you determine the distance of an upcoming storm? By the time between flashes of lightning and the clap of thunder, by the length of the lightning bolt, or the loudness of the thunder?
By the difference between the lightning bolts and the thunder.
Yeah.
Yep.
That was easy.
Yeah. They're all easy. What are you talking about?
This is
true.
Well, yeah, I mean, but here's the thing. We don't know how many people know what when they listen. And so something my dad taught my brother, because he was petrified. He still is petrified of lightning. And he's 50 years old. Is he used to tell him the farther the distance between the lightning and the thunder, that means the storm's getting farther away. And so he used to count. He would count it, and it made him feel better. I mean, he was only a kid when he did it, but an insect diet can actually save your life by providing you with which one of these much-needed bodily sources of energy, protein, fat, or carbohydrates?
Protein.
I didn't hear the question.
Protein.
An insect diet can actually save your life by providing you with which one of these much-needed bodily sources
protein.
Of energy. Yeah. What lush vegetation and swarming insects often indicate?
Say why?
What do lush vegetation and swarming insects often indicate? Dead animals, water, or fertile soil?
Dead animals.
Dead animals.
Dead animals.
Nope. Water.
Water.
What?
I was going to say
mosquitoes.
That. God dang it. You got to let me answer first.
Birds.
Lorna, you have. I want Lorna to answer every question first from here on
out. Okay.
Let's
right.
see how right. smart she is.
All right, let's
okay.
go.
This
I'm
ought
on.
To be good.
Yeah, this is going to be real good.
Wait, you know what we should do? You know what we should do? Is do our own Jeopardy. Oh, training,
we don't have
medicine.
Enough. We don't have enough people, though, to do it.
So, you know, Jeopardy does only have three contestants, right?
Yeah.
Where in the hell's Bobby at on this?
He's asleep.
He's napping. He's sleeping.
He's asleep. It should be Lorna sleeping. She's a drunk one.
I know.
Yeah. She's the one. Lorna's she's the one been out swinging all day.
Right.
Lorna's gonna miss the question, guys. What's
okay.
The what's the question determined? And I get the answer first. Which symptom determines if you are experiencing severe dehydration? Dry mouth, rapid heartbeat, or vomiting and diarrhea? Oh, fuck. Thank you. Wait, give me the choices again. Oh, dry mouth, rapid heartbeat, or vomiting and diarrhea?
Dry mouth.
Now.
Fuck.
rapid heartbeat.
But you know what? That's
rapid
okay,
heartbeat.
No, it's not that either. It's nausea and vomiting and diarrhea. But I picked rapid heartbeat myself. But that just means that's moderate dehydration for the rapid heartbeat.
Wow.
Dry mouth. If your mouth is dry, your pupils or your eyes are dry, and your gums are white, that means you're, like, way, that's beyond severe. But the thing is, with the vomiting and diarrhea, which I don't, this was kind of like, eh. You still have fluid water in your body. It's when
that
you
was
get
a,
the dry
that was,
heat. That was the trick question. I know. All right. Weather's okay. Better get this right. Using
I
the simple off. Snare, using the simple snare, how would you measure the size of the noose? Double the size of the animal's foot, the size of the animal's head, 1.5 times the size of the animal's head.
1.5 times the size of the animal's head.
Yes.
Ha! See? And I never snared.
Yep.
That's because I have actually talked about that many, many times.
Okay, take the credit.
Take the credit.
It's
yeah,
a
okay.
Common sense question. Come on. Okay. Which symptom does not, N-O-T, indicate hypothermia? Stiff joints, a cough, or loss of bladder control?
Say that again.
Which one is not an indication of hypothermia? Stiff joints, loss of bladder control, or a cough?
Bladder control.
No.
God,
I say stiff joints.
Good. It's a cough.
Cough.
When in extremely cold conditions, watch out for stiff joints and loss of bladder control and a puffy face, mental confusion, shivering, slow pulse, loss of coordination, and slurred speech to indicate the onset of hypothermia. That's a trick question, too, and I don't like them. Okay. We just talked about this, guys. What feature of a snake is used to determine if the snake is venomous? The tail, the tongue, or the eyes?
Eyes.
Yep. Venomous
you guys
snakes
are supposed
tend
to
let me have...
answer first.
Hey, there is another way to tell also. By the shape of its head.
Yeah.
All
aren't
snakes,
they like...
their venom glands are right behind their eyes.
Yeah, venomous snakes tend to have elliptical pupils, and non-venomous snakes have round eyes or pupils. But it's not you know, written in stone indefinite, as the poisonous coral snake has round pupils. Not to mention, you don't want to get that close to the snake to find out. Damn Skippy.
Exactly. I mean, I'm driving down the road, and I lift my feet up when a snake is going across the road.
Only you, Lorna. Only you.
That is a true story.
I can't help it. I hate snakes.
Sissy.
Wow. You're in trouble moving to South Carolina.
I know.
They have to,
yeah.
Because they do have eastern diamondbacks.
Yeah, we have timber rattlers here, and we have copperheads here.
Well, we have timber rattlers.
Lorna's going to get her fill of tasting snake when she gets here.
Right on. Snake's good.
Okay, this next question.
I'm not scared to try food.
Has more than one right answer, guys.
Long as it doesn't have the texture of a gummy worm, I'm fine.
I've had rattler.
You'll never know the difference.
Huh?
Oh, my God.
You'll never
hey,
know
Bobby,
the difference when you're drunk.
Hey, Bobby, you're going to have to cook her up some turtle, too.
Oh, yeah.
I have turtle.
Hell yeah.
I love turtle. Turtle is
yeah,
awesome. Squirrel.
Soup.
Yeah, it is.
And squirrels.
Yeah,
squirrel
groundhogs.
Tree rattlers.
Which insect is the most popular edible insect in the world? Ants, grasshoppers, or beetles?
Grasshoppers.
Or I meant grasshoppers.
Beetles.
Beetles?
I think grasshoppers.
What?
Yeah. Beetle species are the most popular edible insects in the world. Placing these critters over a fire will make them sizzle with delight. Yeah, whatever. I thought it would be grasshoppers. The freaking Chinese will eat anything. Grasshoppers are good. Well,
yep.
No, but there was, this was most popular
with
these.
Hold on. Let me add to that. With grasshoppers, you got to pull the head and the entrails and cook them thoroughly before you eat them because they do have tapeworms.
Yes.
Oh, that's nice to know. Okay, I'm not answering this question because I know the lieutenants are going to get it wrong, so I'm not answering it. I'm going to answer it. I'm going to answer it correctly. If you're facing the sun at noon in the northern hemisphere, walking toward it will take you in what direction? North,
noon.
East, or south?
North.
At noon. Hold on. Let me answer. I got this. Noon.
Yeah, she's Googling it.
I am not.
Yeah, I think she's Googling it.
She is.
I know she is.
No, I am not. That's not even an answer because it's, when I'm sitting here at noon, it's like right over there, and that's just kind of west, kind of south, southwest. So is it north, east, or south? It would have to be south because it's definitely not north. That's when it goes down.
It's south. Walking directly toward the sun at noon takes you south. Walking with the sun at your back takes you north. The opposite is true in the southern hemisphere. Damn tricky question.
I know, good question.
How do you know when the bright side of the moon is in the west? The moon is full.
On the dark side.
When the moon
of the
rises
moon.
After midnight? When the moon rises before sunset.
I got to pass.
These are navigation questions. Suck.
Can I call a friend?
Yeah. Would you like one of your lifelines?
That one I have no idea.
You have no friends.
Okay.
Imaginary ones don't count.
I know, isn't that the fact? Okay, repeat the question, and I'm going to try to answer it with common sense.
I know, so I'm going to think, how do you know when the bright side of the moon is in the west when the moon is full, when the moon rises after midnight, when the moon rises before sunset.
When it rises before sunset.
You are correct. When the moon rises before sunset,
lucky guess,
the bright side is in the west.
I know, right?
If it rises after midnight, its eastern side is illuminated. I was going to guess that one, too. Okay. Which of the following isn't a method used to start a fire without a match? Okay. Is not. That's your your hint right there. Is not a method. A soda can,
okay,
and chocolate. The battery method. The animal dung method. And I've never
the
heard
soda
of any of these.
Soda can.
I have.
Okay, go ahead.
Soda can.
Soda can.
Actually, you can start a fire with a soda can.
Yeah, but
because
battery,
of the reflector,
with chocolate.
The chocolate actually polishes.
It has nothing to do with it.
The
chocolate,
chocolate actually.
With it.
Yes, it does. Chocolate does polishes the aluminum to give it a reflective lens from the can.
Not if I'm around,
okay,
it'll be gone and I'll eat it.
Okay, a battery, a magnifying lens, and even a soda can with chocolate can be used to produce a spark for fire.
Yes.
And, and the animal, the answer was the animal dung method. Like I said, I've never heard of any of that.
Well,
actually,
I thought shit makes really good heat.
Now hold on. Let me explain this with the animal dung. Like elephants and stuff, horses, if it's dry, yes, you can use that as a fire tinder, but you will not start a fire with it.
Now you had to have something to...
Trick question.
Had to have something to get it burning.
See?
I
can tell you all
watching
this
them
shit.
Shows where they go after buffalo chips to burn.
Yes. It'll also keep mosquitoes, and it'll keep, I tell you what, it keeps an ember very, very well for long periods of time.
I just said that.
You just got to get past the smell.
Exactly.
Oh. Crap.
Oh, boy.
Which of the following does not provide clues to help orient you towards true north? Moss, anthills, or wind speed?
Say that again.
Which one of these three things does not provide clues to help orient you to true north? Moss, anthills, and wind speed.
Wind speed.
Yep. While not precise directional guides, moss on trees and anthills can help you figure out what direction you're facing. In the northern hemisphere, moss on the north side of trees will often be thicker because that side is shadier. Ants often build their nests on the south or southeastern side of trees, where it's warmer.
I didn't know that about the anthills, but...
Now you know.
Now I know.
So I did it by everyone helping out. Our score was a 70. We missed six of them. Another one. We got plenty of time. I got like four quizzes. Okay. Which of these factors do not contribute to drying of wood? For the purpose of finding dry parts of a bow drilled
fire-making kit. Okay, I guess that's what you're using. Being on the south side of trees, branches being exposed to sun and wind, branches high up in a tree, or branches being covered in moss?
Branches covered in moss.
I was going to say that. It'd be wet.
Yeah.
Yep. Where would you find dry tinder in the rain? Inner bark on, hold on. Inner bark on cedar trees, under rocks covered in lichen. I guess that's how you pronounce it. Lichen. Under moss.
Lichen.
Ocean spray flower heads.
What was the first one?
Inner bark on cedar trees.
Inner bark on cedar trees is my answer.
It is. Hold on. I got to go down, back and forth to do these. Okay. It's A. Where's it at? Inner bark under cedar trees. What do you need to do to a coal to make it ignite a wet tinder bundle? And these are like fill in the blank. You got to come up with your own damn answer. I have no choices.
Wait.
For the next.
Okay.
Say, repeat the question. Hold on. Okay. What do you have to do? Where's it at? What do you need to do to a coal to make it ignite a wet tinder bundle?
Talk to it nicely.
No. Oxygen. It needs air movement.
That's what I was going to say.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, right.
If a tinder bundle
get
is
off
wet,
White Claw, Lorna.
If the tinder bundle is wet, the coal needs to be extra large to dry out the bundle before it has burned out. This can be accomplished with coal extenders like cattail fluff or wood dust, and the coal extenders must be dry. Yeah, whatever. Does that sound right?
Now, in a damp atmosphere. You have no fire yet. How do you dry out your tinder bundle?
Blow on it.
No.
You got you
put it underneath your clothing.
I
not directly
say that.
On your body.
Say
not directly on your body, though. Like it, your pockets, something like that.
That makes sense.
Because your body heat will dry out the tinder bundle.
Yeah. I mean, that does make sense. What are the three edible plants available during fall?
Raspberry, apple,
peaches,
blueberry,
dandelions.
Plankton.
That's not what they're asking, and this doesn't make any sense. So hold on, let me go back and look at this, because this don't make any sense. Because you're right, all of that stuff is. What are three edible plants available during the fall season? And this is their answer. Which I think I'm going to have to go look this up. In the fall, nutrients are stored in the roots of biennials and perennials. It is also the time of mass producers. Cattail roots, bitter root, burdock root, lily species, acorns, pine nuts, hazelnuts, and many others. But that doesn't even answer.
You know what? I should have known that because of this book I just got. And, yeah, that is correct.
All right, y'all. I am home. Y'all have a good night.
Oh, that's because you're going to answer the rest of the questions wrong.
Whatever. I have to get up and go to work in the morning, unlike some people.
I don't.
Work.
I'm jobless.
You ain't going to work.
Yeah, right.
You're going to be just like Lorna, just sit there with your feet propped up on the dash or up on the desk.
I have never prop my feet up on a desk when I'm at work.
That ain't what Lorna said.
Well, Lorna has no clue. She's the only one that we have proof that she did that.
Oh, yeah. We saw the pictures.
I was framed.
Yeah. Framed yourself, right? All right, y'all. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Okay. Where would you find a vitamin D supplement in nature?
A vitamin D?
Yeah.
The sun.
Yeah. Certain mushroom species. You know what? I think these are so vague. I think any answers are right. Certain mushrooms are high in vitamin D, such as chanterelle. And this is important when there is such little sunlight, like in the winter in Western Washington. Yeah, that question was like, oh, so retarded. I'm telling you, some of these questions are like, whatever. Okay, the rest of them are multiple choice. Which of the following is not a sign of hypothermia? Shivering, lethargy, incoherence in irrational behavior, impairment of muscle performance, or stomach pain?
Stomach pain?
Yep. Okay. What should you do if you're attacked by a cougar? Play dead, fight back, take a picture, talk calmly, and try to sneak away.
Take a picture, yeah. No,
I'm gonna go with the liberal answer, talk calmly, and sneak away. I know you're having a bad day. No, it's play dead.
That's what I said.
Because a cougar's a cat. And have you noticed, like, when your cat, when they find mice and other little furry-legged creatures, they stop playing with it or they stop torturing it when they think it's dead.
Did you see that
with a bear?
Did you see that on the news about that mountain lion attacking that little boy?
Uh-uh.
Yeah, mountain lion had a little eight years old. And he was screaming bloody murder, obviously. And the mom came out there, and she beat the shit out of it until he let go and it took off. I think that was in Texas or somewhere else.
Wow. Okay. What percentage of blood loss will likely cause death? 10%? 15%? 25% or 50%?
Well, 50%.
Yeah, definitely. You know, if you cut your femoral artery or your carotid, like your neck or your groin, you can bleed out within a matter of 30 seconds.
Well, my dog,
up to a minute or two, depending on how fast your heart rate is.
My dog Ralph got attacked by a beaver, and it got his main artery in his shoulder, and if I would have made it to the vet within 3 more minutes, he would have been dead. And so that was probably about half hour, 45 minutes.
Wow. Okay, this next one. I don't get this question, and I think this is wrong, and I'm going to look it up because it doesn't make any sense. But I'm going to ask you anyway. Your friend fell out of a tree trying to get honey from a beehive.
She fell 20 feet and was shocked, knocked unconscious for about 45 seconds. You know from your training that she should be monitored for 24 hours. Of the following signs, oh, never mind. I did not see that does not. This makes sense. Does not indicate a serious head injury. Complaints of blurred vision lasting over an hour, unusual tiredness or sleepiness, a headache that increases with intensity, burps that smell like sulfur, or unusual loss of balance.
Sulfur?
Sulfur.
Yeah, because what the fuck does that have to do with anything?
Uh-huh.
See, that was what I was saying. I didn't see the knot, and it said, I thought it said, that does indicate a serious head injury. I'm like, what the freaking hell does sulfur have to do with anything? Your other friend, John, see, you need new friends at this point, okay? One friend fell out of a tree, and your other friend went up into the honey tree and also fell. He was knocked unconscious for 5 minutes. Which one of the following is not a sign of serious head trauma with a need for rapid evacuation? Okay. Depressed fracture of the skull. That means you got to it's like it's caved in, okay? Black and blue around swollen eyes. Black and blue behind the ears. Unusual rigid postures or shivering uncontrollably.
The third one you said.
Black and blue behind the ears?
No, what was the second to the last one. What was that one?
Oh, unusual rigid postures. It means you're stiff.
Yeah.
Yeah, that one.
Okay. That one.
I believe that's what the answer is, but hold on. It's E. The shivering. It doesn't give you a reason. It doesn't give you a reason. It just says shivering uncontrollably. Okay, the reason behind because of the depressed skull fracture, that means you cracked your skull, and you could have bits of your skull in your brain. The black and blue around swollen eyes, that means you have internal pressure and it's pushing your eyes out. The black and blue behind your ears, it just means you're hemorrhaging, and that's the whole big thing about the bruising. But I'll look it up, but it's shivering uncontrollably. And that is a sign of hypothermia, by the way.
Yeah.
Because your body shivers when it's cold, and that's how it makes heat. Okay. Why must you apply a traction device for a broken femur? Okay, I don't know if you guys have ever seen, do you know what a traction device is?
Yeah, I was in one.
It's a traction device gently creates tension to pull the foot away from the body. They also do it for hips, if you broke your hip. And they just attach like a little strap around your ankle, and then they do like 1, 2, 3, 5 pound weights or whatever, and it gently pulls. So to prevent movement of the broken leg, reduce bleeding into the thigh, reduce the amount of pain, prevent further injury by spasms of the muscles, or all of the above.
Say that again. The background noise is
to prevent
me.
Prevent movement of the broken leg, reduce bleeding into the thigh, reduce the amount of pain, to prevent further injury by spasms of the muscles, or all of the above.
What was the question?
Your dumbass friend fell out of the tree and broke his leg, broke his femur, which is your leg, so why would you put the traction device on his leg?
And where would you put
one, it? You put it on the ankle, and it would drape over the bed. Here's the thing. If you're not outside, you would have to have it where it can hang down. It's just like gravity. So it is to prevent movement of the leg, and it does help with the pain. because it's pulling it and it's separating it to keep. But it is all of the above.
Come on.
I'm gonna skip these two questions because I've never heard of them. So I'm gonna look them up and we'll go over them some other time. What is the most consistent sign of true shock? Rapid weak pulse, rapid breathing, pale or bluish skin, your nail beds and lips, restless anxiety and weakness, and nausea and vomiting.
The lips, I think.
The blue.
The rapid breathing.
Rapid breathing. That's what I meant.
Okay, number 14. Okay. So I hate this because I got to go back and forth. A rapid weak pulse is the most consistent sign of shock. When blood volume is reduced, the heart speeds up, trying to compensate by circulating the blood more rapidly. Blood pressure falls, causing a faint pulse. In early shock, the pulse rate may be normal when the victim is lying down, but speeds up if the person sits or stands. That's why we can also check your, if they check you for orthostatic hypotension, they do it laying down, sitting up, and then standing up. Okay, 15. Okay, I have no idea. When digging for water at a curve in a dry riverbed, it is better to dig on the inside of the curve or the outside of the curve?
The inside or the outside? Probably the inside.
Yeah, I say the inside.
Inside. Okay, let's go. No, the outside.
Oh, wow.
And this makes sense. The outside of the curve will be deeper and hold more water.
Which is it? Okay. I missed that. Sorry.
The outer part, because it's deeper and would have more water.
Oh.
Huh. Really?
Yeah. Like I said, some of these questions, I can always just check them out. We can, and, you know, whatever. Okay. I don't like this quiz. what are the three edible nutritional uses of pine trees? And I just learned that.
Pine needle tea.
Hold on.
Say it. Did you already ask the question?
Yeah. What are the three edible parts of a pine tree and what they're for?
The nuts?
Well, I know the needles of pine are for the pine needle tea, and that can help not just with COVID, but it's like, you know, when you get sick for your immune system. The bark, you can – isn't that the one you can eat and it makes you throw up?
Well, you can eat it, but the turpentine will make you vomit.
Well, as I said, that you take it in order to make you throw up.
Yeah, and the pine nuts for food.
Okay, I love pine nuts.
Okay. Let's go. Where's Bobby? Is he even around or he just ditched?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. Okay. What is the most important calorie source in survival living? Sugar, fat, carbs, or protein? The most important calorie source in survival living. Sugar, fat, carbs, or protein?
Carbs.
Protein.
Carbs.
Protein.
Oh,
because you need the protein for your muscles. Carbs are, I mean, if that's all you have, that's all you have. But you're just going to burn those off with any amount of energy that you exert. Which right. method of cooking wild food will retain the most nutrients? Boiling in a pot, roasting on the coals, pit baking, or frying on a rock?
Roasting.
Roasting.
I want to say roasting.
Roasting? Okay. What number was that? Damn it.
I don't know what the last
Where'd
one
it
is.
Go? Frying on a rock.
Huh? That was my second choice, but I've never, I don't
no,
know.
No, no, no. That was the last. No, no, no. That's not. Actually, we're all wrong.
What?
The boiling.
Wrong. Yeah, but that's wrong. And I will argue with that one to the end of time.
I would, too.
Because boiling, you get rid of any and all nutrients. That's why they tell you bake or broil over boiling.
Well,
because all your nutrients.
The only thing I can think of to give them that argument is if are you going to drink the water that you boiled it in?
True, but depends on what you're cooking.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But that's what
they don't give you a reason. They don't give you a reason.
No. Like I know somebody that would boiled spinach, then he drank the water. So, the boiling, you lose some of the nutrients when you then eat the spinach, but you gain it back by drinking the liquid. So that's why I was asking, did they give a reason?
Well, things like potatoes, if you're boiling potatoes, you're boiling vegetables, okay. But if you're boiling chicken, I would not drink that water because, one, it's going to have a lot of grease in it. So, therefore... Yeah. Okay.
Unless you use the egg soup.
Well, and another thing, when you're boiling vegetables, you only want to boil them until that you can just put a fork in it, not until they're all limp and droopy and crap.
Yeah, al dente.
I'm just trying to figure out why they said boiling.
No, I know, and it makes sense. But if you're boiling meat, it's going to boil the grease out. And if you drink grease water, it'll make you sick as shit. So
it's going to make you...
Well, that's how you... Okay. That's where you get your broth.
Right.
Is boiling it.
Yes, you could then use it to make soup.
Yeah. So you drink the broth, you get your nutrients back.
But again, are you going to do it all at the same time type of thing? That's an iffy situation. I think it would depend on what exactly it is that you're cooking.
Exactly. But honestly, I say roasting because it's going to keep all your nutrients in it. I'm sorry. I will argue that one till the cows come home.
No,
okay.
No, no.
Which of these animals is the most dangerous when in Western Washington? And that's not D.C. Rattlesnakes, a wounded bear, black bears, mountain lions, or wolves?
Wounded bear.
Yeah, wounded bear.
Yep.
Well, I'm going to go with the wounded animal,
Yep.
Yeah.
Which of these, okay, and here's the thing, I don't know anything but one of these things, or two. Which of these is the most useful stone for survival living? A sandstone slab, an obsidian dagger, a burin,
obsidian.
Or a baseball-sized granite cobble?
Granite.
The obsidian dagger.
The obsidian dagger.
A sandstone slab. Because it's
really?
Because you would use it for shaping wood, cracking nuts, grinding seeds, sharpening bone and antler, and other tasks. Because that's
what you're versatile.
Yeah. Okay, 22. This is a pain in the ass. When making a bow drill cord from natural fibers like dogbane or nettle, what's the best number of strands to reverse rep? 1, 2, 3, or 9?
9.
Okay, what was the question?
When making a bow drill cord from natural fibers like dog bane or nettle, like stinging nettle, what is the best number of strands to reverse wrap? I have
9.
No idea, but I have the answer.
9.
3.
6?
3.
3?
Yeah.
Hold on.
3 strands are less bumpy, which works well for a bow drill.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Okay. Okay. What is the best place to go look for rocks in a survival situation? North-facing slopes, south-facing slopes, riverbeds, mountaintops, or cedar forest?
I said riverbed, but I'm 0-0 right now, so I need to get one right here.
Riverbeds. In all honesty,
oh,
riverbeds.
Got one right.
Okay,
finally.
What is a good number of traps to set in a survival situation? 1 to 3? 3 to 5, 10 to 20, or 143. I don't even know how they came up with that damn number.
3 to 5. 3 to 5.
Yeah, I'd say 3 to 5.
10 to 20.
I was
going to
say that second.
Yeah.
Yeah, because, I mean, it's a numbers game.
You're only one person.
Yeah, that's the other thing, too. Now, this is something we say over and over and over and over again. I guarantee you I know what the answer is. What is the most important thing in a survival situation? Practice and preparation, positive attitude, big muscles, or always carrying a knife?
Practice.
I'm going to save that one because I want to look up those questions. And find out where the hell they got that from, because I'm like, okay.
Chris should have been here for that one, so he would have known we remembered practice. He got that one right.
I
got
okay.
A lot of them right.
Okay, so which of these can be used to find cardinal directions, north, east, south, and west, okay? Shadows, a watch, stars, and plants.
And what was the last one?
Well, all of the above. Huh?
What was the last one?
All of the above.
No, the one before that.
Plants.
I don't know how you... I guess it depends on the kind of watch. I know how to do it with the shadow
stars.
And the stars. And plants... Yes, that also to the direction. I'm going to have to say all of the above because I know at least 3 of them.
I'm going to have to say that too, all of the above.
That's what I said, but I think we're not going to get them until the end.
Oh, they don't give us the answer?
Oh, yeah, it'll be at the end. I can't. It's one of those you do next.
Okay. I see.
The Morse code signal for SOS, 3 long, 3 short, 3 long, 3 short, 1 long, 3 short, 3 short, 3 long, 3 short, or help.
Oh,
I know it's not help. Huh?
That's too many.
Stop.
I'm going to say the first one.
Three short, three long.
Yeah, that's what
we're
going to
go with
everyone
that one. Okay.
Why?
What is the most valuable tool for wilderness survival? A knife, a lighter, a gun, a tent, or a compass?
A knife.
Oh, fuck.
a knife. With a compass.
Yep.
I'm going with knife. We're going to go with knife. So we're going to find out how stupid we are at the end of this. Hey. All things considered, in a temperate climate, what should come first, fire or shelter?
Shelter.
Shelter.
Shelter. Bobby, you know, you can, you know, chime in anytime you want. He's sleeping. Probably.
Free beer.
Okay.
No, I'm
remember.
Not. No, I'm not. I am driving.
Oh, you're driving.
Oh, right.
That's how
easy. Yeah, just took my grandbabies home.
If you had to eat bugs, which of these would be smart to avoid? Colorful bug, hairy bug,
Warner.
Smelly bug, or all of the above?
All of the above.
All of the above.
Yep, because we just went over that one.
Yep.
See, it's kind of good that way because it's easy. You're paying attention. Is it ever safe to drink salt water? Yes.
No.
If you boil it, wait a minute. If you boil it and capture the evaporation, or no?
Yes, if you capture the evaporation.
Yes. If you're desalting it, yes. If you're distilling it, then yes, you can drink it. You know why I want to pick that one? It's the longest answer. It could be wrong. Who knows?
No, it is that. I know for a fact it's that one.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, because, yeah. Okay. You come to a river that's too wide to jump across. Where is the safest place to cross? The narrow portion. Not wide, not narrow, but right in the middle, which makes, you know what, that makes absolutely no damn sense.
Yeah.
It's not safe to cross at all, or the wide portion.
Narrow.
Well, the narrow.
I would say the narrow. Okay, we got two more questions.
Sometimes the narrowest could be the deepest, but usually the narrowest is the best.
Yeah, sometimes the narrow is the most turbulent.
I'm changing my answer. I'm going to say the widest.
The widest.
That's what I'd say, widest.
It was, after I said narrowest, it occurred to me that, you know, it's not about how wide or narrow, but how deep. So,
and turbulent, because narrow is going to be more turbulent a lot of times.
Correct. So, yeah, so we'll usually, the widest.
Okay, well, we're going to find out, so. If you're slightly wounded in a survival situation, it is best to close the wound and leave it some moisture to heal. Keep the wound open to the air to dry. Amputate it or ignore it.
Close the wound.
No.
Close the wound.
No, you're going to want to keep it open. Slightly wounded.
Yeah, but you can take pine tar and zip that thing together like glue.
Yep. You don't want moisture in it. It'll cause it to
bacteria infection.
Yeah.
Okay, we got two more. How long can the average person survive without water? 2 days, 3 to 5, 5 to 7, or 9?
3 to 5.
3 to 5.
Yep, it's the rule of 3. 3 hours, 3 days, or 3 weeks. And that's shelter, food, and water. I mean, shelter, water, and food. All right. Which of these can be a sign of approaching bad weather? Red sky at dusk, red sky at dawn, or neither? Hold on, let me think about that.
Dawn, sailor be warned.
Yep, in the morning.
Yep. Morning.
In the morning, okay. All right, we're going to see how dumb we are. Calculating results. Let's get our result. No, I'm not taking a damn survey. I want my freaking... Oh, my God. Why only two genders? Jesus. My God.
That's almost
English. None of the above. I'm just answering bullshit questions, okay, guys? Okay, I do not make decisions about purchasing cleaning supplies. Okay, we're white and Caucasian. I'm doing this as a group, okay?
Hey.
I'm trying to get through this stupid survey before it gives us our damn results. Okay. When was the last time you watched a TV show? Well, I'm going to say never on all of these, just because. Okay. We got a 70%. Okay, what did we do wrong? Let's see, what did we get wrong? Look, I don't want to care. I don't care. See the results. Oh, this is like that, you know, the stupid things that you do on Facebook? It says,
oh,
pick, it's one of those damn things. It's not telling us.
It's not giving us the answer?
Are you kidding me?
No way.
Well, we got three wrong. So, and it was probably the river one. Yeah, I know. But it doesn't say. It does not say the question. Huh. Well, that sucks. But I bet you it was the river one. Okay, we got plenty of time to do this last one. Okay, now, I know we asked this question, but this one does. It's a good idea to build your shelter near a water source, under trees, dry riverbeds, or cliffs.
Or what?
Near a water source.
Near a water source.
Somebody's making too much background noise. I can't hear the question.
All right, hold on. Which of the following does not provide clues to help you orient towards the true north? Anthills, moss, wind speed, or the North Star?
Wind speed.
Wait, which one?
Yep,
we went to that same one we did earlier, I think.
Yeah, except they just added the North Star. Different. This I got four different quizzes and from different Survivalist 101, and then there was a bunch of other ones. But yeah, you know. Okay. Okay, guys. Remember, we already went over this one too. Why should you melt snow or ice before drinking it?
Oh, that's a fill in the blank.
I got the four choices. Yeah, but I got the four choices, but we already answered this question. So let's see if you guys remember the question.
Oh, dehydrate, yeah.
Yep. Okay, well, damn it. Which crucial need should you first address if you're lost in the woods during a thunderstorm? Water, shelter, fire, or wood?
Shelter.
Yep, it's the first priority. Hypothermia can set in within 20 minutes. Shelter will keep you from losing more heat and allow you to raise your body temp once your shelter is just on water and then food.
Well,
because
after
food,
you
could go without...
After you build a shelter during a storm, you can catch the water off the drippings off the shelter.
Yep. Remember this one? Why do you avoid sleeping directly on the ground?
Body heat.
body heat.
Loss of body heat.
Oh, yeah, let me tell you something. When it's freezing outside, sleeping on the ground sucks. But if you sleep on an air mattress, that sucks even more because the air gets cold and you're colder.
Oh, cool.
Now, here's the thing about that, too. Unless you have them spiffy little sleeping bags that you could go, it has a different, you know, it can go up to a certain, like, I can't think of what they're called now to save my life. For Arctic weather, and then one for summer, and one for winter. Yeah, if you don't have
one, has got one for like 20 below.
Yeah.
I have one for like 10 above. I can't find one for my area. I'm living in frickin' Wisconsin.
If you don't have one of those, the thing that I noticed the most, I always used a sheet to wrap up in, and then the blanket, because the sheet forms to your body. And you just you sleep in layers with the blanket. Now, when we were in basic training in AIT, they told us to sleep in our T-shirt and our underwear. And those, because we did have those tents, those sleeping bags with the three layers. And nobody believed our drill sergeant. And everybody slept in their clothes. And they froze half the night. Some of us, we actually listened. And just slept in our T-shirt and underwear, and you put your clothes inside the sleeping bag with you, and you sleep on top of them. So when you get up the next morning, you get dressed inside your sleeping bag.
And you want to put your clothes at the bottom of the sleeping bag also to keep them warm.
Yeah. Okay, in a survival scenario, you should avoid eating insects that have more than six legs, have a hard shell, have stingers, are brightly covered, or pungent.
Brightly colored.
Yep. I thought a lot of them are poisonous. But see, I thought, like, I didn't know you could eat millipedes and centipedes and all that shit, so. But because
I think that depends on where you are in the world. I think that depends on where you are in the world, because I know when I was in Jamaica, they told me to watch out for them great big, huge, huge centipedes because they're very poisonous.
Ooh, I forgot this one. I think I know what the answer is. What internal temperature is required to break down bacteria cells in meat? 350, 250, 325, or 160?
160.
160 is the lowest.
Yeah.
Yep. It breaks
down. I have no idea. I don't fuck.
you burn food.
All the dehydrating I'm doing, I've been learning a lot about temperatures.
Lorna burns water. So.
Yep.
I can't say much. My mom did too. My mom burned water, so don't even.
I don't understand how people can do that.
My dad's mom.
It's really hard when you multitask, I tell you.
Listen, my mom, my grandmother, my dad's mom, and my dad taught me and my brother how to cook. And we used to cook at the house because our parents were divorced. So we would cook all the time. We started learning how to cook at 5 years old. What feature of the snake is not used to determine if the snake is venomous? Location, the tongue, the eyes, the tail, the markings, or the head?
Size.
It's not used.
It's not used. Yeah. Oh.
Location.
I would say location.
Yeah, location.
No. It's tongue.
Really?
Right, first
yeah, wait a minute.
I missed the first part of the question.
Well, animals have a forked tongue. That is true.
What feature of the snake is not used to determine if the snake is venomous? And I location,
tongue,
eyes, tail, markings, or head. But
the tongue, because they're all got that V thingy.
They all have a forked tongue. Well, you know.
Yeah.
I guess.
Yeah,
because,
but they don't use
here's
the
same,
though. I saw a documentary on snakes and their tongue, and they were, and one of the things they did talk about was the difference, you know, that different snakes do different things with their tongues.
What is the least important survival for a newbie in a jungle scenario? A fire starter, a tarp, a compass, a machete, or a water filter?
Compass.
What do you guys say? I would say tarp.
I'd say tarp. You said a jungle. I wouldn't have a tarp.
No, it's a compass.
Yeah.
Really?
Because you would use the tarp to as a
shelter
yourself.
And
yeah.
Or also to put that on the ground.
Okay, but here's the thing. It says the least important. I mean, a tarp would be, but
the least important would be you got to have a machete in the jungle.
True. Yeah. True.
You need a fire starter.
Yeah, but I was thinking you can take the machete and make a shelter. That's why I said you didn't need the tarp.
Yeah.
No,
but
you
I
need
think,
the compass.
Definitely
you need
the tarp.
Where you are.
Well, jungle has a lot of wet ground, so you're probably going to want to put tarp down on the ground to help keep you dry.
Exactly.
Yeah. Or you make a tent out of it.
But if you're lost, just stay where you're at. If you're, like, with a party of people and you're lost, don't go anywhere. Just stay put.
And
signal fire.
And furthermore, somebody new that's been out there don't know how to use a compass.
True.
That's true. I didn't think of that.
Okay. Now, this next one, I swear to God, the four choices, you will know right away what the answer is. What is a bug-out bag used for? Keeping bugs from getting into your food storage, a bag containing survival gear that you can grab quickly to escape trouble, a bag of survival gear to keep in your bug-out location, or a small bag of military MREs for camping or hiking.
The second one.
Swear to God. Huh?
Yeah, the second one.
Bing.
Survival
gear.
I swear,
if you guys got this wrong, I'm going to have to reach through the phone.
I was going to say
honestly,
the first
one. We're just gonna to keep bugs from getting into your food storage. Yeah, that's pretty funny.
That's
okay.
Probably how a liberal would have answered it.
Probably.
Yes, a liberal would have probably said to keep bugs out of your food. Now here we go again. You ready? An insect diet.
Yep.
Can usually save your life by providing you which one of the much-needed bodily sources of energy. I'm not giving you the answer because you guys should already know it.
Protein.
Yeah, protein.
Damn, that's the third question. I guess they want to drive that home because it's been in all four of the quizzes. Okay, and the same thing with this one. What do lush vegetation and swarming insects often indicate? Edible plants,
water source,
dead animals, fertile soil, and water.
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 Water. Water. Oh, also, here's the thing. Plant life, insects, bird flight, paths, and animal tracks can all point point towards water sources. So, and like I said, like your flies, your gnats, mosquitoes, they're always going to be near water. Little bastards. All right. Okay, we got 10 out of 12. What did we get wrong? Shut up. Nobody asked you. Oh, we got the tarp question wrong. We got the tarp question wrong.
The tarp question.
Oh, and location. And the tongue, of, I mean, determine the... But I don't know. In all honesty, see, why would... it says not used to determine if a snake is venomous. What does the location have to do with if a snake is venomous?
Well, up
exactly,
north here, we don't have
you
that
got venomous.
Many, up north, we don't have that many venomous snakes. Timber rattlers are new to the area as in the last 20 years, I think.
Okay. Hold on. I'm going to look up the question, and I'm going to see what kind of answer I get. See, this said the same thing. It has all of it. Location and tongue are not either. It's not a choice. Well, you suck. Okay. See, it's 4 types of poisonous snakes exist in the U.S. Rattlesnakes, copperheads, cottonmouth, and coral snakes. A lot of times. Oh, and did you guys know, I don't know if you guys knew this or not, you know that dingbat preacher in West Virginia who used to have rattlesnakes in his church service?
Oh, yes, yeah.
You know he died? He died from getting bit by one of his rattlesnakes.
Yeah. Well, imagine that. What a dumbass.
It's also,
yeah, I'd heard about
it's also against the law. It's also against the law to bring... to cross state lines with venomous snakes, unless you're a
vet. That I heard.
So this is, listen here, damn National Geographic. So this is what they say. Behavior is one component that may help identify snakes. Each species of snake exhibits a different behavior. Like rattlesnakes, they curl up and they shake their tails, and that's usually, hey stupid, you're coming too close. The coloring, the head, venomous snakes have distinct heads. Non-venomous snakes have a round head. Venomous snakes have a more triangular-shaped head. But like I said, I'm not hanging around to find out.
That's what I was going to say when we were talking about this earlier, and Weathers said something about the glands or something are behind the eyes or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, the venom gland.
Pit vipers. The rattlesnakes, copperheads, cottonmouths, and coral snakes are all pit vipers. These are venomous snakes distinguished by the pits on their heads. Each snake has 2 pits that appear on their snout. And these pits allow the snakes to detect infrared radiation from prey. So they mainly go by heat.
And don't forget women.
Okay, also... Huh?
Don't forget women.
And pupils.
There's more men snakes than there are women. I guarantee it.
So
nah, vipers.
That has nothing. It said nothing about location, nor does it have anything about tongue. So, yeah, that's why I don't agree. I mean, let's see. Oh, also, the thing about venomous snakes, just because you kill it, it doesn't mean it's still not venomous.
That's
correct.
A true story.
Yep. And if you run a rattlesnake over and it's
and its fangs go in your tire and you get a flat tire, don't friggin' touch it without gloves. But, yeah, I can't. It has nothing. There's nothing that has anything to do with the tongue because I thought all snakes had a forked tongue.
Yeah.
So,
every snake I've seen did.
Huh?
Every snake I've seen had a forked tongue.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So I think that's just a wrong answer. That's okay. There's this game. It's a quiz game. And you got 60 seconds to answer as many questions, put as many answers as you possibly can. What was it called? Fight List? It's on your phone. You go in your app. It's called Fight List. It's got two boxing gloves, right? You can go up against as many people as you want. And each person, they'll ask you a question. Name as many boy names as you can with the letter B, right? And you do it, and then you know, back and forth. Let me tell you something. The one question I swear to God I was so ashamed of. What countries start with the letter U?
Ukraine?
Go ahead.
Uruguay.
Huh?
Uganda.
Okay.
And Uruguay.
Uranus.
Uranus. Are you serious, guys? You see? You guys are just as dumb as we are. You're just as dumb as we are. The United States.
Yep.
Oh. Oh. Yeah, but that's why. And there's some questions that, see, you can actually submit answers to it. And it's kind of like, what's that, Family Feud. They ask 100 people how many, and that's how they go about giving you the points. Some of them are like, are you freaking kidding me? There's no way that's correct. So that's why I like, whenever I see something, I always want to go and research it. So, what was it? So you go buy a box of earplugs. Do you have to buy one for each ear?
No.
I like them in pairs.
If you buy a box of 50, we bought a box of 50 of them, right?
Yeah.
My son, one was an engineer, mind you, an engineer, okay? Degree means nothing in this world. He handed her the box of earplugs, you know, the little foamy, squishy ones. And what was it that she said to us? Oh, he said, make sure I gave you a left and a right one. And she looked on it to make sure it said left and right here.
Okay, like, then.
Now, huh?
I said, okay, then.
Yeah, I know. And we just looked at her like, and she's like, what? I'm like, dude, you just squish her and stuff them in your ear. Now, unlike your regular the stupid ear pods and regular headphones, yes, those have a left and a right ear, but you don't squish them. So, yes.
She would be fun.
Well, like
the blinker fluid.
Oh, dear God. You know, go get me a bucket of steam. I'm going to go find me a Gen Z and ask him to go get me a bucket of steam.
Or I used to have a lot of fun when I drove over the road, be sitting in a truck stop, get on the radio and advertise cordless extension cords, styrofoam gas jugs, and Harley-Davidson riding weed eaters. Motorcycle doors, all kinds of stuff like that.
I'm telling you, I love messing with people.
But
the blinker fluid is so funny. They actually made a thing called blinker fluid.
Yeah,
because
we
of
used
that joke.
To you know, it was, I think truck drivers started that. We'd be going down the road, and another driver would be going up through there, change lanes. He never would turn the signal off. We'd tell him, we'd say, you're going to run your truck out of blinker fluid. You don't turn that turn signal off.
But that's a military thing, too. The blinker fluid is a military thing. Yeah, big time. If you're a dumbass private, or E1 or 2 or three, whatever, and you're irritating the shit out of your sergeant, man, they will tell you to go to motor pool and go get chem light batteries and blinker fluid. You know the glow sticks? They're yellow,
yeah.
Green, whatever. Yeah, they would tell them to go get some chem light batteries. And them dumbasses would come back with. And I heard one, the bucket of steam. One actually said, go get the router screw for the, well, I can't remember what it was. It was something stupid. And I'm like, wow. But yeah, that's, you know, what happened.
Yeah, I had a fella bugging me one day. I told him to go up to Napa, see if he could get me a wobbling pin for a smoke grinder. He actually went up and asked them if they had such a thing.
Wow. Okay, I was looking to see. I'm just looking for some... Any other news that it's all the same, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, the parents that get this, I think it was it Michigan or Wisconsin who they took, CPS took their kids, and a judge ordered CPS to give their family $100,000-some-odd. They got their kids back, and the head of CPS sat in the back of the courtroom and laughed because they thought it was funny. They need to disband
what?
CPS. They
yeah,
need to get rid of
absolutely.
CPS.
They're taking away kids. They're taking away kids from people that don't deserve it. They're leaving the kids with people that do deserve it.
My ex-husband's daughter had 5 kids. She has custody of her mom adopted the oldest. It's one I took care of for 6 years. And she's divorced from her husband now, and he's got custody of the other 3, neither one of which is a fit parent. CPS allowed her to keep her kids. Well, we need to keep them with the family, with the parents. No, you don't. She poured scalding hot water on her baby's head and
oh,
said it was an
God.
Accident. Both of them were asleep, and the second child, which was the son, was the second one, opened the door, and they lived in the project, and they just got done asphalting the roads, and he burnt his feet until they blistered, and CPS never once took those kids. They questioned and never took them. Now, her brother, he died. He was 26 when he died, and he had a massive heart attack and stuff, and he has 3 boys. One of them had bruises because he fell, and CPS threatened to take those kids away because he fell. Same state, mind you. Same state. So, that's how they sex traffic these children.
Yep.
And you never see them again.
Yeah, and speaking of sex trafficking children, did you see that Biden can't find 1/3 of the refugee kids?
Do what? Are you serious?
Yeah.
Of the new ones from Afghanistan or from Mexico?
I'm not sure. It just said he lost track of
Mexico. No, they know where. They know who they sold them to. They just don't want anybody else to know. So they quote unquote don't know where they are. Trust me, they know where those kids are if they're even still alive.
Well, that's
That was my point exactly. That was my point exactly. But that's what the heading was. He can't find one third of them.
They're
not even sure what the exact number is to be one third of. They're not. They don't give a shit about these kids. And think about it. The ones we do supposedly know where they are, they're in camp being sexually and physically abused and fed bad food. I mean, overcrowded. So we brought these kids into this country for what? This is not humanitarian help at all. You're not just destroying America. You're destroying these people. But that's the agenda. That's the agenda.
Listen, so this is pretty serious. Well, that is too. So with the Democrats and their little $4 trillion spending spree, Medicare A is going to go broke in 5 years.
Yep.
Gross spending on Medicare will increase 4% of our entire economy this year to more than 6% over the next 20 years. Social Security will become insolvent in 13 years. Under this current administration, they cannot guarantee full benefits of retirees.
Nope.
Social Security will run cash deficits of $2.4 trillion over the next 10 years. And it's estimated to post... They're going to spend, opposed to cash flow deficit of $147 billion. And that's because of their bullshit.
And where do you think the money for all these refugees is going to come from?
No, I know.
California is already handing out more money. And you know they're handing it out to the illegals.
Did you see? You probably didn't see it, Maria. I found a video in LA. In LA, there's a couple hundred acres of land that was donated to veterans for housing. They've only put in 1,500 homes. They're small homes, you know, for homeless veterans. And that's it. That's all they've done. And so now it's a tent city of homeless veterans. But get this. It's clean. All the veterans have chores and everything. They have it like they're living on a military installation or a FOB.
Yeah, well, American veterans are different. I mean, than just general homeless population. Most of them, they just don't want to deal with people. I forget what state it is that they made all a veteran community using out of date or out of use. Trailers from the tractor that they don't use anymore, containers, the shipping containers.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, they actually made some little nice houses for veterans. I forget what state it was. I actually know somebody, I was talking to somebody that was involved in it, and I think they're also doing it in upstate, in Washington State. And there was one of the southern states, Midwest states that it was. I'm trying to remember. It wasn't that long ago because one of my veteran friends shared it with me, because he's always sharing things with me. And, it's really kind of cool that they did that. It wasn't by the government either. It was one of the veteran groups, that raises money for veterans.
Yeah.
I wish I could remember which one it was, damn it. But, and I donated. The veterans is one of the few groups that I donate to regularly, frequently.
I do the fireman fund and the police one for those who die in the line of duty and all that.
Well, What's going on with the phone thingy? Because it's cutting you guys off completely, and then it'll come back on again.
I have no idea. We're being tapped.
I believe that, absolutely.
Oh, my. Well, I don't know about you guys, but I've been having some really, serious problems with my data as well as my internet, service. And not just in my camper, but, all over the place. And I have Verizon. But yet I'm constantly having issues with my data. And the same thing with my internet service provider. Granted, it's pretty much all Xfinity or Comcast because they have a monopoly. But no matter where I am in the city, I have issues.
So do I.
Yeah, it's happening everywhere.
I don't have a whole lot of trouble with my data, but now phone signal, like here at the house, sometimes my phone's in and out.
Oh, okay.
And then other parts of the county. Like when I come home, there's a couple of spots, and I'm only 2 miles from town. But there's one or two spots coming down to the house that I lose signal sometimes.
Shit, when you go through West Virginia on 50, you have no signal. None.
Oh, I know.
Well, that's because you're not allowed, because the antenna array they have up there or something, they're not allowed to have the signal. So that sucks. It's like 100 miles of nothing.
Yeah. That's the same with I-77 down through there on the turnpike. I go down through there, and you might have signal in one or two places down through there.
Okay, so Monday. I don't know. Someone's come up with an idea for a show for history or whatever for Monday.
We didn't
Let me
talk
know.
About farm.
Well, we did that. No. We did that on Thursday or Monday.
Oh.
Yeah, remember?
I wasn't there.
Oh, that's why. I'm going to go over the I got my new herbal medicine survival books. I can go keep going over them on Tuesday. I might just do a history lesson on Monday. I'll think of something.
You want to hear a really good one, Cam?
What?
Last year in ROTC, they had all the cadets do pick, like a battle. Something, they had certain ones. Well, Allie picked the Gulf Leyte War, or the Battle of Gulf Leyte, whatever it was. I can't remember now. But anyway, she told me she was doing that one. And I was like, that is awesome. I told her, I said, Malcolm Homer was in that war, in that battle. And
there's
the Gulf Leyte War in the Battle of Samara there at the Philippines. But my my dad's brother was in that war. And they had 54 men, I think it was, on their ship, was killed in that war. They had 5 major fires. They took several direct hits. They sat dead in the water afterwards for 2 weeks before they got the repairs made and got the ship up and going.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he was on the USS Culenin Bay.
Cool. I saw this thing.
people are saying that we will never have another Revolutionary War, Civil War, or anything like that. I don't know. If things keep going the way they are, we will. And someone said about World War II vets. And they're like, why? They're probably in their 90s and they're almost dead. I said, let me tell you something. Those whatever World War II vets that are still alive have more balls than this generation does to serve. They're,
oh, yeah.
By far. They would serve again even if they died.
Plus, you got a lot of Vietnam veterans, too, that would be ready to stand up and fight.
Oh,
yeah.
I think I shared in Telegram that that woman, she recorded her 78-year-old grandfather going into his closet to get his uniform. Huh?
That was her
dad. That was her dad.
Yeah, her dad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pearl Harbor vet.
Yeah. And he was like, I'm going to go rescue. He was going to go rescue them.
Jason Biden ain't doing nothing.
Right. He said, huh? That was awesome. I mean, it was sad, but it was awesome. I mean, here's a 78-year-old man, and he's probably a grandfather and a great-grandfather, and he's ready. He's got his uniform, and he's ready to put his uniform back on and go back out there and fight. And you see these little pussies running around, you know, the country, you know, wanting their students to pledge allegiance to the freaking gay pride flag.
Oh, I know. And not only that, they think they're Billy Badass Fortnite. Yeah, okay, you go right ahead with that. Fortnite's not real.
I'm not saying that some of them aren't dangerous. I mean, you know, you don't want to, you know, underestimate them any more than you want to overestimate them. But, you know, at the end of the day, they're a bunch of pussies playing at a game.
Bobby, we got 2 minutes. Bobby!
Yes, we do. Yes, we do. Another great show as usual. Thank you all for being with us tonight again. God bless you all. God bless America, our kids, troops, veterans, first responders, and God bless the Defender 7. Good night, everybody.
Good night.